we're back in business, baby.
Yeah, it's been forever.
I know. What's up, caffeinated Christians, peoples, audience, listeners, things,
readers?
No.
You will not be drinking your coffee like that.
I have my warmed up pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks. So good, by the way, my Aspen Colorado mug. But we're back after a very long hiatus. Hi, guys. We missed you. Holly, did you miss them?
Yes.
I need to change your letterboard.
I know. It's still
October. I will change it. You haven't changed mine in a while, though, either.
Because you have Christmas, so I just kind of stopped doing it because you're doing the countdown, so I didn't want to, like, ruin it. But also, it's been 46 days for, like, 46
I
know, days.
I need to change it.
So I'm about to go in there today and change it.
I need to create the right numbers. Anyways, I want to explain a little bit of why we took about a month off. There are a lot of external forces that are happening with my family, in my life, and so I just needed to kind of set one thing aside for the time being while work got really busy, and Holly's work got really busy, and we both started getting really involved with student ministry, and just lots of things were happening, and so we needed to take a little bit of a break, a breather, from the podcast, especially because we were talking about really heavy topics, and, you know, we were trying to just ease up the schedule, and so we're back for the time being. I don't know what the schedule looks like. Hopefully Mondays will be our day, but we're both incredibly busy, so it's really hard to find good times to record. So we'll play this by ear, see what happens, see when we're updating podcasts and things like that. It might be recording Wednesdays, uploading someday. I don't know. But the vision still remains strong for this podcast and the series that we're in, and I'm very excited for today's episode. It's going to be really good, I think. With all that being said, let's get into it. So, today we're talking about pornography, we're talking about masturbation, we're talking about all the things that the church does not like to talk about. Which, kind of understand why. One of our pastors at our church puts it a really good way, is that, like, the spectrum ranges from people who've never heard about pornography, don't know what it is, to those who are indulging in it and are involved. And so it's really hard for the church to find a good place to start with that topic, because half the time people don't know what it is and half the time people are really, really involved in it. And so for us, we are kind of going through pornography from a point of view and from a perspective of someone who has dealt with it and has gotten out of it, and we are trying to, get you to understand why it's not a good thing, why it's not a sin that we should be indulging in, and why it's considered a sin, because this is called struggling with sin. And so, my dearest friend, Holly Hefner, is on this podcast with me. Would you like to explain your experience with pornography?
Yeah, where do I even begin? I didn't realize this until recently. First of all, okay, I'm on this because I struggled with pornography for a while. So one of Emma's goals is during this series is to bring someone on that has, like, firsthand experience in these sins that we are discussing, and so it's funny, because when she first asked me to do it, I was like, absolutely
yeah,
not.
Yeah, she was like, no, definitely not doing this. Why would you ask me?
And that was, like, what, a good 2 or 3 months ago? It was a long time ago. You had asked me, and I, like, at that time, I was still healing, I think.
Yeah.
I still am, so don't go into this thinking that I'm, like, completely fine, because I'm not. But I... there's just been a lot of growth between when she asked me until right now.
So much growth.
To the point where it doesn't even really bother me anymore to talk about it, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I'm, like, kind of nervous now, but that's just because this is, like, a huge part of my story. But I think that the biggest thing that I have learned through all of this is, like, this isn't my story. Like, this is God's redemption story through me. And so I hope that by the end of this podcast, like, you hear more of what the Lord has done and not anything about me. Because all the glory does go to him at the end of the day. And my struggle with porn has been awful, but also very much it's very much part of my story and very much like I went through it like for a reason, and the Lord has brought me out of it and redeemed me, and here we are. So
she's here.
Killing it. So when I was, I think it was when I was 8, it was when I was first introduced to pornography. I hung out with a kid that lived behind us, and I was, like, friends with him forever, like, all growing up. And there was a day that I went over to his house, and he was like, hey, I want to show you something. And I was a stupid 8-year-old child and was like, okay. And he was the one that introduced me to porn that day. And I don't think I was, like, addicted to it that young, but that was when I was, like, introduced to it. But then, this is the part of my story that I didn't realize until, like, a couple weeks ago, I think. The Lord revealed this, like, memory in me that I didn't know existed. But after that, after he had introduced me to it, like, he started, like, touching me inappropriately. And I don't know why I didn't remember that. I don't know if it was because, if it was just my own, like, traumatic brain that, like, pushed that memory to the side and didn't want me to remember it. Or if it was the Lord just being like, I don't want you to remember this until you're ready to heal from it. It could be both of those. I don't know. But, so that's kind of fresh. It's been only a couple weeks since I was like, oh my gosh, Emma, guess what I remembered today?
Yeah. And that's so, honestly how the conversation went. And I was sitting there like, are you okay? What do you need?
Yeah. But I think the timing of it was good though, because I was fine.
Like, absolutely. I agree with that statement.
I handled it well. I didn't like freak out or like spiral out of control. I was just like, okay, well, let's deal with that. And so, so that's kind of how it started. I don't think it got really bad until a couple years later. My dad knew because he had put, like, protection things all over our computers and whatever. But I was a smart child and knew how to get around them. But Dad knew every time I tried to get around them. And so my dad tried to confront me about it a few times, and it was extremely uncomfortable for the both of us, and I still, like, don't remember it even really clicking in my brain that, like, what I was doing was wrong and why it was wrong and what was going on was wrong. Like, I didn't really understand that, and he tried his best, but it just, I think he gave up or he just didn't want to deal with it, which is fine. It's nothing against him. Yeah. It's just how it was. But through my later in middle school, probably like seventh or eighth grade is when it started, like, I started, like, getting, I guess, addicted to it, is if you really wanted to call it that. It wasn't like an everyday occurrence, as like most people I think struggle with it, but it was definitely an issue. And then it just stayed that way forever until about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I'm still fresh off this boat. But the Lord's done a lot of healing, so I guess that's how it started.
Where it's at.
Where it's at.
Okay.
Where it's been.
So, getting in the nitty-gritty, getting in, like, the deep things, what about it made you keep watching it?
You know, as I was, like, chewing on this question, because I, like, don't... When I first got these questions and you sent them to me, I read that one, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't have a solid answer as to why. I think, though, that the one thing that I think I've learned over the past year of healing from all of this is that I think that it was, like, my, like, illusion of intimacy. So I, like, as a child, and now still kind of, I don't like it when people touch me, but yet I want it at the same time. And so, like, I kind of grew up thinking that, this is weird, but bear with me for a minute. I kind of grew up thinking that, like, physical touch was my love language because I wanted it so much. But then at the same time, when people I didn't know or didn't really know, like, touched me, I hated it. And I think that, desire or whatever of, like, why I kept watching it is because I created this illusion in my mind that, like, that's what love was like, that's what intimacy mm-hmm. is, and that is what I so deeply desired, and so I created this, like, illusion of what it meant to like, fulfill that, like, physical touch aspect mm-hmm. of what I so desperately wanted, and so I think that's, like, the best answer I could come up with.
That's good. That's very interesting. So what did you feel when you watched it, and then what did you feel after you watched it? Like, okay, for example, like, you come home from school, you watch pornography. How do you feel during that moment and then the moments after when you, like, stop watching it and you can go about the rest of your day or something like that? Or, like, whatever it looked like.
So, usually, this one's also kind of hard to answer. The last part's not hard, but I think... Oh, if I look at like my patterns of how I like participated in this, mm-hmm. it was always when like I couldn't feel anything, like I was numb to mm-hmm. a lot of things, like or I didn't want to think about anything that was going on mm-hmm. around me, because I had a very interesting. There's just a lot of things going on in my mm-hmm. life growing up and even now, especially like the past 7 years, I found that like every time porn is what I resorted to was when I didn't want to think about anything else. Mm-hmm. And so it was my like distraction. It was like alcoholics with alcohol that like want to drink yeah. or do drugs so yeah. that they don't have to remember or they mm-hmm. can forget for a while. Like that's what it was for me. And so, but then after I was like, so much guilt and shame, which I struggle with trying to figure out if that was like the Holy Spirit convicting me or if that was just guilt, because guilt doesn't come from the Jesus. Holy Spirit, so no. I don't know if it was, I don't know, because I still question when I was saved, mm-hmm. Because it's not the Holy Spirit that was causing that guilt, because he doesn't do that. So it makes me think that I wasn't saved until much later in life. Mm-hmm. just because of the difference of how I felt when I think after I was saved than when I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so, I think I felt really guilty and shameful, and I didn't want to talk to anyone, because especially the people I was closest to, because mm-hmm. no one knew yeah. what was going on. It's only been, the first time I told anyone was only a couple years ago. Like, no one knew that this was a thing, like, no one knew it was happening. And so that on top of the guilt I already felt from yep. partaking in this, like, got worse, because I knew everyone that loved me didn't know what was going on, and yep. there was no way I was going to tell them. Mm-hmm. And so that, I don't know if that answers the question, but...
Yeah, and just as, like, a disclaimer, I'm not trying to ask all these questions to, like, make anybody uncomfortable, make her uncomfortable. I'm trying, one, as somebody who's never struggled with pornography, I've struggled with other sexual sin, but pornography is not one of them. I'm trying to be able to understand what this is like, and then also for like you in the audience who've maybe struggled with porn, or you do, to kind of be able to have somebody that you can relate with in regards to the feelings and the emotions that are kind of attached to it and things like that. And so that's why I'm trying to ask these things. We'll get to the redemption part soon. I just wanted to put a little disclaimer. So I want to say I resonate with a lot of what you're saying with past, like, addictions that I have had, like sexual sin, cutting, that kind of stuff. It was all, like, either numbing or coping mechanisms.
Yeah, it was definitely a coping mechanism.
So that's very interesting, 'cause even though I can't relate with the actual sin, I can relate with the lack of comfort, the lack yeah. of intimacy,
yeah,
the lack of any stability. Mm-hmm. And I turn to X, Y, and Z. So that's right. very interesting.
Yeah, and I don't think I knew it was... I don't think I, like, really understood that it was a coping mechanism until recent. Mm-hmm. Because for so long... I mean, I dealt with this for so long.
Yeah.
It was like, why... Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why I like this, because I don't like this. Mm-hmm. And so it's like... I really struggled with, like, trying to understand why is this of all things. Like, why is this... the one thing that, like, I turn to get away from everything else. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I really struggled with trying to understand that until the past few months, I think, is when I realized, when the Lord was really walking me through this healing of all of this, yeah. which we'll get to later, but
yes.
was of was that? Like, dealing with why? Like, why is this the one thing? And the, which I think this is a question later, but, like, as a female, too, mm-hmm. is, like, why is this the one thing that, like, of all the things that I could deal with, like, this is it? Like, why?
Yeah. Let's get into it. We'll jump down a few questions. So, most of the conversations I have had regarding pornography have primarily been with males. Mm-hmm. That is a huge struggle in the male population, and that's kind of, I think, what is mostly talked about is, like, oh, yeah, most guys struggle with porn. That is yeah. what is usually the statistic. But also in my life, I have recently realized that a lot of females struggle with pornography.
Yeah.
So how does it feel, I guess, for you being a female that struggles with pornography? Like, how are you able to navigate that? How are you still navigating that? Tell us about that.
I think, let me just say this right off the bat. I think it is a shame that we say that porn is a male problem because it is, but it's not. Like, it is across the board, and especially now because porn is so easily accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think it is an utter shame that we categorize it as a male-only type of sin when it is absolutely not. And mm-hmm. Men deal with lust, but so do females.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, it's never talked about, and that's a shame. And so that's why we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, I think it makes it worse. And I know that the females that are struggling with this sin, listening to me right now, feel this because I've talked to other girls that feel the same way, that the fact that the church, well, the world, but especially the church, says that this is a sin that men indulge in makes us as females feel way worse about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so for me, whenever I went to like all the Christian conferences and like church on Sunday mornings and like youth group and all this stuff, when they would decide to talk about porn, which is like never, but when they did, mm-hmm. it's like they always made it seem like this is such a male problem. And so it made me feel 100 billion times worse for like struggling with it, because I'm like, oh, well, now I'm really not good enough because I can't, like, this is only a male thing, so I must be super messed up because I'm a female dealing with the same thing. And so that affected me way more, I think, than I realized until more recent, is like just that alone made it harder for me to get over it or to even try to heal from it, because it made me feel like less of a human or less of a person who loves Jesus. Because as a female, I struggle with this thing that's been so much categorized as a male sin. Mm-hmm. And so you're not alone if you are a female. Like, you're not alone. And I'm sorry if, like, the church has hurt you in that way, because I feel that the church has hurt me in that way. And, but it's not true. You're not any less of a human mm-hmm. because you struggle with this as a female.
So kind of about to, like, ease into, like, the redemption, like, phase of life in this addiction. Like, were there, before, like, you, like, stopped doing porn, like, all that kind of stuff, like, were there ever any moments of conviction from the Lord that he was like, this is wrong? Or, like, right before, or maybe even the process of, like, letting go of this addiction, like, what was the conviction? What broke your addiction? Like, kind of, like, all of those things together. So it's, like, 18 questions in one.
This is where it gets a little foggy, where I go from guilt to conviction, because those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, so in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he talks about everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practice lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. And I remember reading that recently. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was me. Like, that was me when I was in the pit of all of this, is like, I was practicing sin. And there's a difference between, like practicing sin and also like just committing sin, because we're human and we're always mm-hmm. going to sin. But practicing sin is more like living in it. And like, that is your everyday thing. It's like, you're going to choose sin. You're actively choosing to live in sin and not actively choosing to at least attempt to run from it.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think, in podcast episode 2.
Yeah. Yes, we did. You're right. And I think that is where my, the difference came is like, the guilt was when I was living in sin. The conviction is when I was actively trying to run from it.
And what we mean when we're talking about this is a really great sermon by Josh Howerton, who speaks at Lake Point Church in Dallas. I think it's like something about like the demonic spirit or something like that. And basically it's all about 1 John 4, which talks about testing the spirits. And he basically talks about how the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of guilt or shame or anything that involves that, but conviction with love and grace.
Yeah.
And so like when we're talking about like in this like situation, particularly like when Holly is feeling guilt, like after she like dealt with porn and things like that, that is not from the Holy Spirit. That is from Satan trying to make her feel shame and trying to make her feel ashamed.
Which he did.
Which she was successful in. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings in this love and grace and redemption. So that's what we're talking about. I'll put the link. I'll put it in the description so you guys can look at it, because it's a really
great
sermon.
Well, while we're on that, we should also talk about his sermon about accusations, because that goes hand in hand with this guilt and conviction, is because Satan is really good at, you're better at explaining this than I am, but he's really good at like accusing, and then you are like, as humans, we're really good at believing that accusation, which then like takes root into our lives, which causes a lot of issues.
Basically, what he talks about is that there's two ways that the devil works. He works in temptations and accusations. And when he finishes with the first, he goes on with the second. And so when he tempts, for example, like in this situation, like previous years for Holly, young Holly, high school Holly, when Satan would tempt Holly with pornography, she would fall into that trap, and then he would accuse her and be like, look at what you did.
Yeah.
Like, how can you call yourself a Christian and be living in this? Like, that is from Satan. That's not from Jesus. And so that ties in with the whole
guilt, shame, conviction idea. Yeah.
So.
Go look at this.
Josh Howerton, I'll link both the sermons. They're so amazing. Go listen to them.
You need to listen to them.
I'm so sorry. Okay, keep going.
No, I told you to explain. So I think, with all that to say, I think that is where the difference between, like, there was times in my life where, like, the only thing I felt was guilt and shame. And then I remember, oh my gosh, I remember hearing, like, these voices in my head being, like, you're not, like, why are you doing this? Like, you're not good enough. God doesn't love you. Like, this sin is causing you to, like, do, and that's the accusations from Satan, that's not from Jesus, because Jesus would never say that to me.
Absolutely.
But because I was living in sin and practicing sin, like, I was not walking with the Lord. The Holy Spirit was not in me, I believe, at this time. And so it's, like, I don't have the power of Jesus in me. And so I don't have any weapons to use against those voices. And so that was all that I believed for years. For years, that's all I believed. It was, like, I'm not good enough. Like, no one's going to love me. Like, I don't want all of these things. And I still deal with that now, not necessarily believing the voices, but because of my past issues and like things that I believed, like now the Lord's trying to uproot all of that and then plant me into things that Jesus says about me, not what Satan did. And so now that's kind of in the process I'm in now, which we'll get to, but the conviction started a couple years ago when I really was starting to like attempt to walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
It was after my trip to Brazil.
And Brazil.
But conviction feels so, okay, this is gonna sound weird, but conviction feels so much better than guilt and
shame. It does.
And it doesn't feel good. So don't get me wrong. Like, it's painful and it's awful, but it feels
better
than guilt and shame, because it's the voice of Jesus talking to you, not the voice of the devil. Mm-hmm. And so that is,
Yeah. It sounds more like come home instead of...
Yes. It's you more suck. Like... Yeah, exactly. Like, it makes...
Yeah, it does. It really does.
It doesn't give you comfort in your sin, but it gives you comfort in knowing that someone loves you enough that you want to... They want you to change. And, yeah. And so that is... That's the difference.
So when you began walking kind of more so in the way of the Lord rather than living in sin, was there, like, a moment where you're like, okay, I'm done? Like, was there a specific, like...
There was a lot of those moments, and then it didn't, like, stick.
Okay, well, what was the moment that, like, stuck? Because you've been, like,
yeah, so,
on a streak for a year and a half or so.
Yeah. Something happened with one of my girls, and it was in that moment where I was, like... And I don't know if this was conviction or if this was, like, Satan telling me this, but it was, like... It was, like, I don't know how I can expect to lead my girls in this way if I am not walking in that way.
No, that's definitely Jesus.
And so...
That's good.
Yeah. And so that was when it, like, hit me. I felt like someone threw a brick at my head and was, like, you... It was, like, my hypocrite moment.
Yeah.
Of, like, you can't sit here and, like, preach all these things and tell the girls, like, you can't be walking in that direction when I myself was walking down the same road. And so... And that, I remember that night, I was taking a shower, and I was, like, thinking about it, and I just wept. Like, I was a mess. Like, in the shower for, like, a half hour. And if you know me at all, I take, like, 5-minute showers.
Yeah, she really does.
So that was, like, I was in the shower for, like, a half hour. I remember I got out, and Zach was like, are you okay? Because I was, like, just out of character for me. But I just, like, I wept. And that, it reminded me of the story of when Peter... denied Christ 3 times, mm-hmm. and then he remembered what the Lord said to him, and he walked outside and wept over his sin and what he did. And, like, I think that was my Peter moment, was, like, I remember the Lord telling me all these things, and then I wept because I was, like, this is not Jesus. Like, this is not me. This is not my character. This is not what the Lord wants from me. And I cried for days. Like, I didn't cry in front of anyone because I just don't do that, but
I've seen her cry twice.
Yeah. Which is, like, a record.
I know. Yeah. Emotions.
Pretty sure one of the times was possibly over this. I don't know. But I remember that moment, and I probably will never forget it because...
That's so beautiful,
And I
though.
Think it's because I don't cry. That's the other
but
thing.
But that's, like, a beautiful, like, mourning, like, process over your sin. And it's, like, it shows... I don't know. I feel like it just shows, like, how much, like, you cared and still do care about walking in the way of the Lord. It's, like, you were so, like, distraught over...
I was.
What, like, your mistakes. And so, like, I think that is a beautiful representation of... Like, mourning your sin and then moving forward.
Yeah.
Yes. After that.
I've been fine since then. I mean, not fine, but I am, what do you call it? I mean, you can't say sober because that's not drinking. And clean, I guess? I don't know. I haven't looked at porn since then.
And that's good.
Yeah. So,
before we get into, like, the biblical, what the Lord says about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, how... Because you haven't seen watched porn since then, how have you combated that? Because knowing the way Satan works with temptation and accusation, there have probably been moments where he has tempted you and, like, been like, hey, I don't know how he does it with you, but, you know, like, how have you combated those? So, like, how have you fought the temptation? Like, how are you still clean, or quote, whatever we're calling it?
Well, we're going to bring the Bible into this. Is that fine?
I mean, this is a biblical podcast, so.
So there's, like, many ways for me to answer this question. And I think that I am now who I needed to be from my person then. And so I hope that the things that I'm about to say are practical and easy. They're not going to be easy. I'm going to tell you that. They're not easy. It's going to be difficult. It's going to suck. And you're going to hate every minute of it. But it's worth it. So let me just hear me out. First of all, you have to tell someone. Mm. I didn't tell anyone. The first time I told someone, it was really painful, but I felt this kind of, like, weight lift off of my chest. I told a couple of my friends what was going on. And I'm saying this not to degrade them, but I'm saying this for the people that need to hear this, mm-hmm. is if you're going to tell someone, make sure you tell the right people.
Mm.
At the time, I thought I was telling the right people because they were my best friends, and a few of them still are. And I told them, begging them to help me because I needed help. I couldn't do it on my own. Like, I can't do it on my own. Like, and I'll get to more of that later, but, at that time I told them because I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I need accountability. I need someone that I can trust. Which I have a lot of trust issues. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big deal for me too, is to like come out and just say it, because this is like not something we like to talk about. Like, it's awkward for a lot of people. And I told them, and no one helped me.
Mm.
And I don't know why, and still to this day I've never asked them, and I want to, but I don't.
Maybe this is like, your ticket to do so. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. And I almost regret telling them, because now they know, this is probably selfish, but now they know this, like, part of me, but they never helped me get over it, and they never helped me get through it. And so I was still, even though everyone told me, not because they knew I dealt with it, but because I just heard it from, like, on stage at church and all this stuff. But, like, if you're struggling with something, you need to tell it. You need to bring it in the light.
Yeah.
Because you're going, which 1 John talks about that, too, is, yeah, like, absolutely. you can't be walking in the darkness. Like, we are children of God, and God 100%. Is of light. And so if you're walking in darkness, you're not walking with Jesus. And so if you're struggling with a specific sin, especially this one, like, you need to bring it into the light. I think
James says that as well, to, like, confess your sins to your brothers and sisters in Christ as well.
I think in chapter 4, I think he says that. Maybe 2, I don't know. But, yeah, and so I did that because that's what I thought was going to help me, and then it didn't. And so I say these things because make sure whoever you're going to decide to tell is actually going to keep you accountable.
Yeah.
And, like, the day I told Emma was, like, I don't know, I feel like that was, like, a specific point in our, like, a turning point in our friendship.
I think so, too.
Was that night at the beach when I told her, like, everything.
Yep, I remember.
And, like, ever since then, like, I've put up, like, I've told her, I'd be like, look, I'm struggling with this today. Like, there's been times that I've had to take all of my
electronics and put them in my room.
And put them in her room, because I knew that something had triggered my brain that day, and I had to take steps to combat that, and so I gave it to her, because she's going to keep me accountable, and because she loves me enough to do that. And so if you are struggling with this and haven't told anyone, you need to tell someone, but make sure you choose that someone wisely.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question?
How have you, like, been able to combat the temptation?
So that.
You're good.
And then you need to understand your triggers.
Mm.
This is a huge one for me because I know them very well. And I didn't know them, I think, while I was dealing with it, but now that I've been healing from it, I know them very specifically. I cannot watch TV that has any form of sexual anything in it, unless I'm, like, with people, which even then is not good, but it helps if there's people around me. So I used to watch, like, Game of Thrones and all those things. Can't watch it anymore. I can't do it. I used to own all of them, deleted it all off my laptop because I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read books that have any form of sexual anything in it. I can't do it. I think later in life I'll be able to, but right now I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't listen to music that has any form of sexual anything in it, because that affects my brain more than anything. I have to be very careful with social media because our culture is extremely sexualized, and so I've had to cut many things out of my life. But in Matthew, chapter 18, he says, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire." I can't read. "And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire." And we'll go on to the next part in a second. But I think that it is especially important. Like, for example, like when I take my electronic devices and stick it in Emma's room, like that is cutting off
your foot.
That's cutting off my foot. That's you have to be drastic. Like, you're not going to be able to, if you're so far into this sin, you're not going to be able to be like, "I'm just not going to do it," because you don't have that power. Like, but Jesus does.
Yeah, 100%.
And so
that's good.
That's the biggest difference between me now and me then, is like, I would be like, "Oh, I'll be fine. Like, I can just handle it on my own," when I failed every single time. But now, because Jesus is in me and working in me and healing me, like, I have the ability, because Jesus's power is living inside of me, to be like, "Emma, I need you to take this from me tonight because I can't do it."
Mm-hmm.
And things like choosing to watch different TV shows or not choosing to watch different TV shows is, like, as silly as it seems, like, that is, like, the power of Jesus giving me that ability to do so. Yeah. Because a couple years ago, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'd be like, "I'll just binge watch Game of Thrones all day, every day, and I'd be fine." And now I can't. Like, I choose not to. And that's what he's saying. Like, he's not literally saying, like,
cut off your foot
or tear out your eye. But he's saying, like, the things that are causing you to stumble or the things that are causing you to sin, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you are an alcoholic and you don't want to drink anymore, don't buy alcohol. Like, and so it's, like, the same thing with porn. Is, like, if you don't want to be able to indulge in that, then put it somewhere else. Like, put it, don't leave your electronics in your room. Don't leave your electronics and stuff in your room at night. Like, go put it downstairs. If you don't have someone that is living with you that knows, put it in a different room.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell them. Just, like, leave it out of your space where you are tempted, because I am 100% always tempted at night. Nighttime is not a good time for me for many different reasons. Like, the whole darkness thing. There's another part of my story that, like, happens at nighttime. Like, it happens at night. And so nighttime is not good for me for many reasons. And so every time I've had to give Emma my stuff, it's been at night. It's been before I go to bed, because I know I can't do it, and I myself am not able to overcome it. But I know with Jesus and the help of the fellowship of believers,
yes,
I can get through it.
We're meant to bear each other's burdens as believers. And so, like, to my friends that are on the opposite end, like, on my end, where it's like, you are keeping another person accountable, like, that is a huge duty. That is a huge responsibility, and you need to take that with pride and with major care, because it's like, you are bearing the burden of another believer, and you are loving them through their healing process, and that's absolutely necessary. And so, just disclaimer. But a scripture I also want to throw in that made me think of this is 1 Timothy 6:11, I think 12 as well. It says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." That is what we are supposed to be walking. We are supposed to flee from everything else. I think Bradley said this. I think he was, like, talking about, like, sexual sin, and he was like, you know, we're called to just flee from it. Like, we're not really meant to dwell in it. We're just meant to go. And so, like Holly was saying, that means, like, cutting off your arm, cutting off your foot, cutting off the things that make you stumble now.
Yeah.
Because you do not have the self-control to stay away from it.
No,
if you did, then you wouldn't be struggling with this.
Right.
So, all that being said.
And let me tell you, like, even after the day that I stopped, like, indulging in porn, is, like, I still struggle with it. Like, the temptation is still there, but now the way I deal with it is much different. And so I think it's Yeah, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be something that's going to affect my life for a very long time. But I agree with Emma, like, you are supposed to, like, bring it into light with fellowship of other believers, mm-hmm. because we are called to, like, carry each other. And, like, that is what, like, Emma does for me, like, right now through this healing process, is, like, she, through Jesus, is, like, carrying me through this. And yes. So it's, like, but it's been so Jesus. Great. And because, like, she keeps me accountable to a lot of things, like, even when we're watching TV, which parts of my other part of my story comes into play on this, but, like, they won't let me watch certain things because she knows. Like, she knows things that trigger, like, she knows things that affects my brain. And so when we're, like, sitting down and gonna, like, watch TV or whatever, like, she will purposely not choose something mm-hmm. that she knows is not good for me. And yeah. So, like, that is what, like, accountability and, like, godly friendship is supposed to be. And so, if you, that goes back to, like, choosing the person you're going to tell, because, like, that is what you want. Like, Emma's, like, model for that. And I'm not trying to raise her on, like,
it's Jesus.
It is Jesus. But, like, that's what you need. So,
going more so into, like, a biblical, like, more so Bible focused, I don't know, standpoint, even though this has all been Bible focused, what does the Lord say about porn and masturbation and lust and, like, everything revolving around that and just, like, other sexual sin?
We'll find the root word of porne, I think is what it is, which means harlot. It's actually found in the Bible many times. I wasn't prepared for that. Somehow I just knew that, but that was Jesus. So
Holy Spirit.
I don't know where it is, but I know it's in there like a bunch of times. But it literally means like, it means something like the writing of a harlot or something like that, which has changed over time, but now it's just like in video form. Well, I mean, it's in many forms, but most people are just in video form. So,
yeah.
I like to, hold on, let me get there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Ooh. Sorry, I love 1 Corinthians.
Paul says, you should go and read it. Because there's a lot, but I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to start in verse 15. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." And I think there's a lot of passages I could have picked for this, but I think this one was my favorite.
Yeah.
Because this is the one where it, like, kind of hits me, like, deep down in my soul. It's, like, I'm not my own. Like, my body is a temple. Like, the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so what I do to my body, like, I'm doing to the Holy Spirit, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so it's, like, things like indulging in porn or even, like, alcohol or drugs or things like that, that you're committing sin against your own body. Like, you're committing sin against God, which you're committing sin against God either way, but especially against your own flesh, because he lives inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And so because, like, we are, like, the temple of God, like, we are supposed to glorify God within our body because we are the temple. And so if you are indulging yourself in all these things against your own body, like, that's a big no-no. I think, I mean, the Bible talks a lot about it, but I think this is my favorite passage about of what Paul says. And I don't know, I might start crying in a second, but it's fine. I think
that it's so good.
It hits me every time, is like I'm not my own. And we need to remember that, like, I am not here for my own fleshly desires. Like, I'm not here for what I want. Like, I'm here to glorify God, and if I'm doing anything other than that, like, that is sinful, and especially if it is against my own flesh and blood, and because I'm not my own. And so like, Jesus paid a lot for me, and for me to sit here and go against that and completely disregard, like, what the Lord has done is awful. Like, it's just very unrighteous, and we're called to walk in righteousness and live with glorifying the Lord, and you're not doing that if you're indulging in sin against yourself.
Yes, Philippians 3 talks about that.
But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of my knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from the God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in sufferings, blah, 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 forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead.
Because then he says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own.
And yes! Like,
that is what I love Philippians. I just, like...
Holly's over there, like, mouthing the scripture.
I love Philippians. It's my favorite book, so I'm pretty... I hope I would know it by now, but it's, like... That is, like, the one verse that I would... If I could, I would get it tattooed all over my body. Is, like... I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. And it's like, I'm not my own. Like, this is not my life. This has nothing to do with me. Like, it has everything to do with what I can do to glorify the Lord. Like, and what the Lord's going to do through me. Because, like, this story that I'm telling you, like, of my past and, like, my struggle with sin and all this stuff, like, it's not my story. It's not my story. It's, like, the story of the Lord and his redemption and his grace and the things that he has done in my life and the things he's going to continue to do in my life. And, like, Paul talks about, like, in Philippians, he talks about how his you might have just read it, about his suffering and stuff is for the sake of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And I consider, like, my... porn addiction was suffering for a long time, and it will be because of the things that it has done to my brain and the things that I'm going to struggle with for a long time. But, like, because the Lord has healed me and I'm in this place, like, now I can help other people and, like, and bring them closer to the gospel. So, like, my suffering through this and through my own stupid decisions is, like, now going to be glorifying for the Lord because of what he's done and how I can help people through it.
And so those of you that are struggling with porn or struggled with it in the past, and maybe you're also on, like, the path of healing and the path of like moving forward, but, like, the Lord can use your story. Like, the Lord can and will use your story for his glory. I mean, the Bible is full of broken people that God uses for his glory. Holly and I can both attest, like, with our both individual stories, like, Holly struggled with porn, my struggle with sexual sin. Like, the Lord is, like, using our stories for his glory. And even though there are rough patches and hard parts, like, there are still, like, redeeming moments the Lord is doing. And so take heart, son or daughter, and know the Lord can use your story for his glory. And so, to close, what is, like, one or, like, multiple, like, last, like, words, I guess you would say, to those who are struggling with pornography, used to struggle with pornography, maybe are, like, in, like, the wrestling motion of trying to get out of it and are, like, struggling to? Like, what would you say to, like, those people right now?
The first thing I would say is, like, the day that sin, like, held me in its grasp was the day that I decided to stop fearing the Lord. And then I stopped fearing him for a long time. And then the day that I remembered, like, what the Lord has done for me, and also the path sin was heading me down was not good, and it was eternal damnation is what it was. And my sin caused me to be separated from God, which is what hell is, eternal separation from God, which is awful. Don't want to do that. And so the day that you start learning how to fear the Lord again is the day that you'll have the ability to run from your sin. And I know it's easier said than done, believe me, I know. And I think that that is the one thing that people get wrong. I don't know if I should say that, but get wrong when they talk about their struggle with sin is that they make it seem like it was so easy for me to just be like, no more of this, and then turn around. And I've heard so many stories of, like, okay, well, one day Jesus did this, and then I never struggled with it ever again. And I'm not here to tell you that. Like, there was one day where I was like, I'm not going to watch it anymore, but there has not been a time that, like, Satan hasn't tempted me with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I still struggle with the temptation. Mm-hmm. The difference is now I have a healthy fear of Jesus, mm-hmm. and I know that he is giving me a power to overcome that, and people are surrounding me trying to help me heal from it. Mm-hmm. The second thing, there's three different passages in the Bible that have helped me with. One is what Emma tells me all the time, which is in Ephesians. And she's always like, you have to be prepared for what is coming. It's Ephesians 6.
Yeah. It's like, talk about the armor of the Lord. It's like, put on the armor of the Lord so that when the day of evil comes, like, you'll be prepared for the devil's schemes.
Yeah. For a good example, Emma and the family just left for a trip to Dallas, and I couldn't go because I had to work, and Emma and I had many conversations about this before they left, because I was like, this is going to be the first time I'm going to be alone in a long time, in like a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I remember, we had this conversation so many times, I was like, something's going to happen, like, Satan's going to use something's going to be, there's going to be temptation coming out the walls, because I'm going to be alone, and there's not going to be anyone here to be able to, like, help me get through it. And so she was like, well, Ephesians 6, like, we know it's coming, so just prepare for it. And that's what I did. I spent, like, a week, like, praying, like, all right, God, like, they're leaving on Sunday. Like, I really need you. Mm-hmm. And I was fine. I was fine all week. There was, like, a lot of things had happened while they were gone, like, external things that, like...
The things did come, but she fought them with strength.
Yes. And, like, I think that's a good one, because it's a great example, because I was terrified of them leaving, because I was like, I'm going to be left alone to my own devices. And it's like, and that's scary. Like, it's scary for me, because I just knew that something was going to happen. And I was like, God, I need the strength to get through this, because I can't do it on my own. And he did. And he provided, and he was faithful, and I was fine. The other thing is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, when Paul says, I'm just going to read it. He's talking about taking every thought captive, which also came from Emma. And he says, chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And, like, that was the one verse that I kept running through my head, like, the whole time they were gone, is, like, every thought needs to be taken captive. Like, I need to walk in obedience and all of these things, because that's what Paul is saying. And Satan wants to put strongholds in your life that, so they're, like, footholds, and then footholds become strongholds, and strongholds keep you, like, attached and anchored to this sin, but you can't let it get that far. And so Paul is basically, like, you need to take every thought captive, or else Satan is going to use this against you. That's a big one. And then my other favorite verse, I think, is in Hebrews chapter 12, which is funny because we were talking about this yesterday, kind of. Well, chapter 11.
But, chapter 11. Is,
open your weeping. So the first, we're going to jump. So the first part of chapter 12, so chapter 11 is, we call it the Hall of Faith, because it's talking about all these people that, like, did all these crazy things, but it's like, they did it out of faith. And then the first verse of chapter 12 is like, therefore, so he's saying, because of all of these things, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And I love that verse because it goes along with one of my favorite verses in Philippians, which talks about also, like, run the race with endurance. And but then later in chapter 12, we don't know the author of Hebrews, but he says, therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And and he's basically saying, like, you have this amazing cloud of witnesses, like, cheering you on, like, running this race of endurance. You have all this, like, all these people from, like, the Hall of Faith from Hebrews 11, like, cheering you on from heaven to run this race. And so you need to prepare yourself. And then he's saying, like, lift your hands, like, strengthen your knees, like, pray, prepare, do all of these things so that you're walking a straight path in obedience with the Lord. And, like, those are the biggest things I would say is, like, I think Christy McClelland uses this analogy that I love, and I use this all the time, is, like, if you know anything about football, she uses an analogy of a punt returner, and she says, as a punt returner, like, their one job, their only job is to receive the ball, because the other team is going to kick it, right? And so she uses this analogy by how we should be living our life and listening to the Lord is, like, you always need to be in the posture of a punt returner. And kind of what Hebrews 12 was saying is, like, lift your hands, lift your head, like, be praying, like, look up and be ready to receive. Like, a punt mm-hmm. returner is ready to receive the ball. Like, we also must be ready to receive what the Lord mm. is calling us to. And so mm-hmm. I always remember that as, like, be in a posture of a punt returner. And I feel like that is when all my healing started, is when through this whole thing of, like, being able to heal from all of this is because I started to position myself in a different way.
Mm.
And instead of trying to do it in my own strength, which I can't do, like, mm. I started to let the Lord do it and take over and heal me. And he has.
Mm.
And it's because I've positioned myself in a way to let him in, which I hadn't really done before. And so my advice to you is position yourself as a punt returner because you won't regret it, and the Lord will heal you, and amazing things will come from it.
Very well put.
Thanks.
Yay. Well, guys, I feel like we could go into this, like, a bunch more. So if you have any follow-up questions or, like, other things that you want us to address, like, maybe regarding pornography or masturbation or lust or sexual sin, let us know. DM us, DM us on Instagram, and let us know, and we can obviously do a part two to this. I feel like that there's just so much more that we can uncover with this, but with all that being said, I'm Emma.
I'm Holly.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop. I miss saying that. Wow.